And we're starting a new series today. And the title of the series is Knowing God. Plain, simple, super important, super powerful. Focusing on knowing God is actually the most natural progression as we come out of the Like a Tree series. In the Like a Tree series, we were focusing on the fact that there's this realm of meditation. And in the realm of meditation, that's where it says in Anna's Law, he meditates day and night, right? There's something about that space. And so knowing God has a lot to do with your thinking and your experiences. And when you know God better, God will empower your life. When you really know God, he empowers your life. He sets your life full of energy and grace and victory. There's all of these things that happen when we really know God. And the verse for the series, I want to read to you now, because like this is like what Jesus literally prayed for us. Like when Jesus was on the earth, he prayed this. Watch what the Bible says in John chapter 17. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give them," two words, everyone say with me, "eternal life. To all those you have given to him." Now this is the key verse for this series. "Now this is eternal life." What is life? "Now this is eternal life." And Jesus was praying for us to have eternal life. Here's what he says. "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God." How many know there is one true God, one true King? Hallelujah. What is life? Life is knowing the only true God. And Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, that we might know the Lord, and we know the Lord through the Son. So life comes by knowing the true God. And here's what I want to declare to you. The knowing life is the empowering life. You see, when your life is knowing the true God, then God will empower your life. It will fill you with like this sense of strength and grace and peace and victory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When the Bible says you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Truth and life, knowing truth, knowing Jesus, it gives us the empowered life. That's the kind of life that we're supposed to be living. So this series is going to focus on how to really know who God is while also discovering who he is not. Because there's a lot of different voices out there about who God is. In fact, there's even a lot of different Christian camps. And so today's introduction, this is an introductory message. This is supposed to create a framework for all of us so that we can learn and think about who God is in a correct way. You know, I've spent the last year, I actually enrolled in school. I've been getting my master's at a pretty prestigious university, but the unique thing about this university is that although they use the Bible, most of my professors would not fall under classic Orthodox Christianity. And it was interesting because a number of people that I shared this with said, "Why are you going to that school? You know, I mean, I've been studying the Bible for, I did go to Bible school for a while. I've been studying the Bible for 40 years. And I was like, you know, I know what I know, but I want to know why other people think the way they do. And so one of the things that's been magnificent about the journey for me is that I've been in classes with teachers that I feel so much love for, and I really disagree with them. You know, which I think is the spirit of Christ. You can love people that you disagree with. Somebody say amen to that, right? But what's cool about it, and this is why we have to know what the Bible says, brothers and sisters. You know, because here's what happens. I can have a conversation with someone and say, you know, I love you, and I disagree with you, but I know why I disagree with you now. Because you and I don't think about God the same way. And so part of this series is going to equip you to have those kinds of conversations. Okay? And God wants us to be full of His truth and light so that we can apply it first to our own lives, but then that we can share it with the world. How many want to share the truth of who Jesus is with this world? Amen? So the title of the message is Knowing the True God. And before we pray, I want to give you a quote by A.W. Tozer from the book, The Knowledge of the Holy. This has been like said so many times, but it's worth saying again, right? A.W. Tozer said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. You see, what you think about God is the most important thing about you. How you see God, how you know God is the absolute most important thing about your life. And so this is vitally, vitally important, because if you think wrong about God, then you're going to approach Him wrong. You're going to live wrong. You're going to receive wrong. You understand? So biblical thinking is birthed through this biblical meditation, right, that God promises us, and then there's this blessing that is released. So Jesus said this is eternal life, but Jesus didn't say eternal life means that we get to live forever. That didn't just mean, oh, when you get to heaven, you'll live forever. When Jesus said this is eternal life, He meant that life starts now. Real life starts now. A life that's greater than depression. A life that's greater than fear. How many know God has not given us a spirit of fear around here? Hallelujah. A life that's loving, a life that's powerful, a life that's caring, a life that's able to give. Because we're so full of who He is that we're able to give. That is life. But we have to know God. And it comes by knowing God. Look at the way He said it to Joshua, right? In Joshua 1:8, He said, the book of this law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall, everyone, meditate on it day and night. We got to get full of the Word, because to get full of the Word is to get full of Jesus, right? It says, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. There is a blessing released into the life of the person who really knows God. And when the Bible talks about prosperity, we'll touch on this at the end, it's not just talking about worldly success. How many people know people who are super successful and miserable? How many know that's not prosperity? How many want biblical kingdom, Jesus-given prosperity in your life? It's a strong life. It's God's life for us. So let's pray for that life right now. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that, Lord, You would quicken the next few moments. David said, open my eyes that I might see the wonderful things in Your Word, in Your law. Lord, would You open our eyes? We want to know You. I pray, God, for everyone in this room, because, Lord, as we know You, God, You empower us. I pray, Lord, for our online family. May your word, oh God, may your truth, may your presence and power, may it cleanse today, may it heal today, may it release people today. Minister to us, we pray. Because, Lord, there's nothing better than knowing you. Bless this word, bless our time. In the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. We got a lot to cover, so let me start marching through. Three keys to knowing God. Three keys to knowing God. First of all, knowing God is experiential. Knowing God is experiential. There's a big difference between knowing about God and actually knowing God. Knowing God is experiential while at the same time intellectual. So you experience God, but it doesn't mean that you cancel your mind. Actually, it's through your mind in part that you actually experience God. You see, Jesus doesn't want us to have like blind faith, simple faith, so to speak, like non-engaged intellectual faith. No, we use our minds as we receive the word of God, but when you know God, this word that they might know God, this was more than just having information in your head. You see, we learn the knowledge of his word while we experience the warmth of his heart. That's knowing God. So knowing means both intellectual and intimate knowledge. Actually, it's interesting. That word know, and this is in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. When the Bible talks about knowing God, they always use the same essence in both Hebrew and Greek. And you know what the word know means? It's know intimately, like a husband knows his wife. That's how intimate God wants us to be with him. We're talking about intimate knowledge of who he is. And so we don't master the subject matter of God. We experience who he is. I was talking to Pastor Josh this morning, and he said, you know, when I was a kid, he lived in Atlanta. He said, my favorite baseball player was Greg Maddux. And he said, I knew every detail of his life. I knew every statistic. I knew where he was born. I knew everything. I knew how tall he was. I knew everything. He said, and the only time I really got close to him was at a baseball game, watching him pitch with 40,000 other people, right? And so that's as far as his knowledge went. But real knowledge knows the person. You see, real knowledge knows not just the stats and the truth. Some people grow up with Bible knowledge. Some people grow up with philosophical understanding, and we think that, but there's no knowing God if we don't experience God. And if you haven't experienced Jesus, then you don't really know God, not the way he said. And you can know God. How many are thankful that we can experience Jesus? Hallelujah. In Jeremiah, look at how Jeremiah described experiencing the Lord. He said, when your words came, I ate them. Did you eat the word of God this morning? When your words came, I ate them. They were joy. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, Lord God Almighty. Right? So when she was exhorting us, I read this morning. It's like you take it in, and it's like I experience the goodness of God. If you really want to know God, I'm telling you right now, you have to pursue tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. So if you grew up with this cold, dense, heady Christianity, ask Jesus to break that mold, because there's so much more, right? Imagine the crowds who saw Jesus compared to the people that Jesus actually touched. That's the difference. And so knowing God is It's experiential. I was watching my granddaughter. What does Sienna call Annie? Moma? Mamu. Oh, I love that. She just turned 2. She goes, Mamu. Oh, and then what she call you now?
Manya.
Manya. And what am I? Pada. Pada. Oh, I love when she says Pada. But you know, if you watch them, right, there come moments when she sees mommy, but that's not enough. She wants mommy. See, she wants mommy. She's like, mommy, pick me up. Mommy, hold me. Mommy, I don't need to know that you're there. I need you. Okay? I'm telling you right now, if you reach out to Jesus like that, you're going to experience him just like that. Come on, somebody say amen. Hallelujah. And let me tell you, when you start experiencing him like that, then you're good. You know? Right? You're good. It's like, I'm with the Lord. Amen? So knowing God is experiential, but then knowing God is revelational. You can't know God without revelation. You and I need revelation. In Isaiah, the Bible says this. Listen to this. In Isaiah, the Bible says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So God is saying, look, if I don't reveal myself to you, you can't get me. You won't understand. It's not possible. Now, I'm going to give you 2 $7 words, theological words, that I don't like using when I preach, but let me say this. Okay, I need every teenager and college student to understand what I'm going to break down to you right now. This is very, very important. And we need to be able to break this down to our children. We have to simplify it, but we have to break this down. So theologically speaking, what this basically means is God is transcendent. Transcendent means that he's so far. He's so other. He's so different than who we are. You see, God is so far away, is higher than the heavens, just like the verse says. But at the same time, he's also imminent. So in his nature, God is so far, but in his heart, with his presence, he chooses to be so near. Imminent means near. Okay? So look at how Tozer put this issue. He said, you may find this hard to believe, but God is just as far above an archangel as he is above a caterpillar. Why? Because both the archangel and the caterpillars are creatures. You see, God is the only uncreated being in the universe. He is existent forever. He was non-created. Okay, he's the eternal power, the eternal truth, the eternal life, the all-knowing, the all-loving, the all-powerful God. And so in order to, how does a mind, right? I don't know if I struggled with math. Actually, I struggle with math and science and about 4 other things, but we don't have to get into that, right? How does such a simple mind grasp such an immense God? Revelation. You see, we need revelation. And so it's interesting because I noticed that there are different camps. And remember, this is an introduction, so I'm giving you a framework of thinking today. But there are different camps, and while I was at school, one of my professors broke it down so well. I was like, man, I never saw it that way, and now we all get to see it this way. So one of my professors made a map. Imagine the continent of Christianity or Christianlandia. Okay? So there's one continent but three nations. The first nation we're going to call the Bible nation. The second nation is the justice nation. The third nation is the emergent nation. Now look, I had to make these general, so don't make it too narrow. It's just so that you have a general understanding. But think, turn on your brain right now, because watch this. Okay, so the Bible nation believes that the way we know God, the way we receive the truth is as follows. So we believe, the Bible says all scripture is God-breathed. You understand? So we believe that truth is revealed by God and should be revered by man. Where do we get our understanding of God? We get revelation through his word. And whatever the word says, that's what we respect and honor and obey. Could somebody say amen? Amen. If God says it, we respect it, we honor it, we obey it. We don't always understand it, but aren't you surprised that you don't always understand it? He's God. You see? So when the word of God is the capital city of that nation, then we believe truth comes from God through his word. Now watch this. There's a different camp. We're going to call it the justice camp. And as the weeks go by, we're going to talk about a lot of cultural hot topics just by using this. All right? So the justice camp believes that truth is narrowed for the purpose of addressing my pain and problems. So there's a lot of quote, men of God who have the name Reverend in front of them. Right? But what they primarily use the word of God for is to be a tool of addressing cultural pain and problems. So what it does is it narrows the truth. So does the Bible address our pains and our problems? Yes. But if that's the only reason that we use the Bible, and then we say, but I don't have to submit to the other things of the Bible. You see? So we can stand for a justice position and disregard God's holy position. You see? Now look, I'm not coming at anybody, but I just want you to understand what they're saying to you on social media. You need to understand what the news is saying to you, and instead of just sitting there like, oh, wow, that's true. No, the word of God is true, brothers and sisters. We got to follow what the word says. Do you know, I'm listening to a book about the life of Hitler. Do you know that Adolf Hitler once said, "The Lord is using me"? Right? How could Adolf Hitler, the most, you know, his, like the most evil, wicked being, so to speak, how could he take on his lips, "The Lord is using me"? It's because he grabbed the truth and he narrowed it to the point that it ignored all of the craziness of his mind and thinking, all of the wicked hatred, all of the evil. And he said, "This, I can use this." That's what I'm talking about. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. That is more prevalent in our time. Narrow thinking, because people pick and choose the truth that they want. But how many know that's not really knowing God? How many want to know the one and true God? We want to know God. And then here's the lie, the third one, which is more emergent. Many years ago, they started to talk about the emergent church. And the emergent kind of continent, here's what they believe. They believe that truth evolves and is discovered to define my identity and desires. So some people say, I will use the Bible wherever, however I want. So like... So like, for example, I'll give you, this is, let's say someone, they want to commit adultery, right? So they might use a verse like, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm free. You ain't that free, brother. Right? But do you know there are so many banners that people fly that what they say is God is always revealed. Oh, that's, they say the Bible is an old truth, but there's new truth. Brothers and sisters, if it's not the word of God, it's not the truth. It is one truth. Come on, somebody say amen. And so we'll be able to touch on all of these things, but I want you to pray about your own thinking. You see, because a lot of times we get caught up and led astray by doctrines, in some cases, doctrines of demons. I didn't make that up. The Bible says that. Demonic teaching, okay? So worldly philosophies. And well, I'm not letting that go. That's my culture, you know? It's like, my culture. This is my culture, my culture. No, Christ above culture. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Somebody say amen. Knowing God is something so deep, so special, so powerful. And let me just say this real quickly. And this is something that you and I always have to weigh. You know what I mean? And that's why, if I could put it this way, you know, don't get so bent out of shape when people stand for things that are wrong. What is he saying? Here's what I'm saying. If God doesn't change their heart, you're not talking them out of it. You understand? But we can pray. We can love, we can share the truth, and the truth will set them free. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm not saying that we don't stand for the truth. I'm not saying that there's not a place to raise your voice. But what I am saying is that when we know the true answer to the ills of Chicago, the true answers to our nation and so on and so forth, they are found in Christ and Christ alone. There is no legislation that's going to change the human heart. You know, you could say you should do this, you know. But it's when you know Jesus. They could send me a keyboard player before I go to the last point. So look at what Jesus said. He said, are you not in error? Right? These were religious leaders that Jesus said, are you not in error? Like, you are wrong. Why? Because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. You see, so in the camps, right? In the camps, the way I've always said this, I've probably said this here many times, right? So good theology comes down from God to us. Bad theology rises from us to God. Because when we start telling God what he needs to do, we're off. When we start telling God how he needs to fix it, we're off, right? God is right, we are wrong. Somebody say amen. Settle that. Settle that. God is right. We are wrong. And many times what happens is we don't have enough of the word in us, and consequently, we don't have faith in God's power to actually fix it. You see, God has the power to fix whatever you and I are battling with. Right? God has the power to break every chain. Hallelujah. Somebody not giving me the words. Come on, it's co-preaching right now. You see? He has the power to do it, but can you believe it? See, when you trust in the power of God, you say, God, you fix this however you want to fix it. Right? You fix my husband. Notice I didn't say you fix my wife. That's wisdom, wisdom, word of knowledge. Come on. Brothers, listen and learn. Let me tell you, you might be sitting today, all right, this is gonna start to apply, right? You might have an elephant sitting on your chest today. An elephant is sitting on your chest right now. Nobody knows it. Nobody understands it. Nobody knows how far back this elephant goes. Nobody knows how crushing it is. Nobody knows how difficult it is to breathe. Only you know. Each heart knows its own bitterness, the Bible says, and no one can share its joy. You see? And that elephant might be crushing you today. But our God can lift that elephant. Hallelujah. How many know our God can lift the elephant off of your life? Hallelujah. Put your faith in the power of God. Our God is powerful. The true God is powerful. The true God. Jesus is the one and true God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Last thing I'll say about this, and we'll almost close, but you know, we were in the prayer meeting. Two prayer meetings ago, we were in Philadelphia, and at a certain point, my wife gave the mic to one of the sisters. And she took the mic and she started to pray. Now, when we first started to meet this group, every word out of her mouth was almost a personal put down. Right? We're talking about bright woman. But I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not this. I'm afraid. Oh, I can't do that, I'm afraid, I can't do that. You know, it's like you can talk yourself into not being able to plug in a toaster. I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do this, right? But my wife called her. This has been, you know, a couple years now. Took the mic. Like, Esther, she prayed. I thought she was going to blow the doors off the building. I was like, who in the world is that? What in the world happened to her? You know what happened to her? She had an experience with the living God. Hallelujah. The living God. Authority, faith, confidence, courage, right? Clarity, peace. Joy. Where does that come from? It comes from knowing the one and true God. Amen. You can know the one and true God. Don't think for one second that God doesn't want that to be your life. Every life is different, but every life can know the true God. Here's the last thing about knowing God. Knowing God is transformational. We'll close. You see, when you get a revelation of the true God, he starts to empower you. He empowers you with three things. Here's three things that you can always pray for. First, he empowers you with faith. Come on, somebody say faith. Faith. You know, the Bible says faith the size of a mustard seed will move a mountain. Okay? The righteous will live by faith. We walk by faith. You see, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But when you start to know God, it fills you with faith. We had a miracle in this past year. Marilyn Bonilla was diagnosed with cancer all over her body. And I spoke to her. I was driving in the car when I spoke to her. When I spoke to her, I heard one thing come out of her mouth. You know what came out of her mouth? Faith. It was palpable and powerful. She was full of faith. And it took 3 months, and it's a long journey. You could hear the, I don't have time to break it down, but they did the scan. The first time her body was lit up like a Christmas tree with cancer. And then after the 3 months, and they treated her, but they gave her half the amount of medicine. They messed it all up, but it didn't matter. They took the scan again, and that Christmas tree was turned off. There was nothing there. Hallelujah! Faith frees us from cancer. Faith opens up the windows of heaven, and things just start appearing. The car appears that you need. The job that you need appears. What do we need? We need faith. Secondly, when you really know God, He starts to bring you into greater levels of freedom. You see, He starts to build freedom into your life. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed is not just a nice saying, it is a truth. This is weeks ago. We have a brother in our church who just graduated Teen Challenge. Adult Teen Challenge is a drug program. People who have addictions, they go to the program. So he had been to two programs, but left. He dropped out. Terrible, terrible, destructive journey, completely controlled by drugs. But anyway, he went to Teen Challenge. And you know what happened at Teen Challenge? He learned to know God. So he graduated. Weeks later, he goes to his brother's house. When he gets to his brother's house, they offer him a beer. So he says, oh, I don't drink anymore. The guy was like, you don't drink anymore? Why don't you want a beer? No, I don't drink anymore. It's alcohol has wrecked my life, among other things. And a guy says to him, you stop drinking? He said, yeah, I'm free. The guy says, I want to be free too. He pulls out a bag of cocaine. And he says, I don't want this anymore. He says, I have more at my house. So the guy, right, he grabs, he throws in the garbage. He said, we got to go to your house, get rid of all of that. He goes, how did this happen? He said, I went to a program. He said, I want to go to the program. So wait. So he says, well, let's go. I'm going to take you. He said, I'll call my mom. So they went back to the house. They threw out all of the cocaine. Now I want to pause here, right? Once an addict, always an addict. Well, if you're addicted to something, when that thing is right in front of you, you start to shake like a, you know, right? Teeth start to rattle. They pull out imagine the moment when this brother saw that cocaine. He grabbed it, threw it in the garbage. Maybe his spirit was saying, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah! Took the guy to Milwaukee with the mom. That guy, because of that testimony of knowing the freedom of God, that guy's in a program today. And God is setting him free too. Hallelujah! That's right here, right now. That's right in this place. Not because of this place, but because of who this place seeks and serves. We seek Jesus, the King of Glory. Hallelujah. And then lastly, he just starts to prosper you as we close. Prosperity doesn't mean worldly success. It means godly success. Okay? Prosperity means that your life starts to work the way God designed it to work. How many know there's a way that God has for you?